Hi, this is George Chakiris, and you're listening to TV Confidential.
Ed Robertson, welcome you back to TV Confidential, radio talk show about television that is happy to bring you part two of a conversation that began last week with entertainment legend Rita Lee. Rita's new memoir, Consider Your Ass Kissed, not only tells the story of how a young girl, the daughter of Lithuanian immigrants, became one of the most legendary entertainers in Hollywood history, but provides a treasure trove of authentic memories about the golden age of film and television, including Rita's roles opposite the likes of Clint Eastwood, Burt Reynolds, Charles Bronson, James Garner, Lucille Ball, Fred Astaire, Sally Fields, Robin Williams, Howard Keel, Julie Newmar, Bob Crane, Phyllis Diller, Raymond Burr, and Frank Sinatra. You can order Consider Your Ass Kissed right now at Amazon.com. If you missed last week's program, Rita had just shared the amazing story of how she convinced then-Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev to release her 92-year-old Lithuanian grandmother from the Soviet Union in 1964 so that she could live her remaining years in America and be reunited with her daughter, Rita's mother, for the first time in 36 years. As we pick up the conversation, two things. One, your self-deprecating sense of humor comes across when you tell this story. I should remind folks, Rita was very well known overseas because of her appearances in Operation Eichmann, because of her appearances in Witness for the Prosecution and on shows like The Twilight Zone. So you had name value. And so that, and plus you had James Bacon and you had Life magazine working this, you know, for you. They wouldn't do that just for anybody. So that's,
I had name value in Lithuania. That same name value didn't apply to Russia, nor did I speak Russian. I did speak Lithuanian. I do speak Lithuanian, mm-hmm. Which helps, of course, a great deal. And to this day, oh, honey, I am a much bigger name than Barbara Streisand.
but the other thing, and this is why I love that story so much, is one of my favorite stories in Consider Your Ass Kissed, Rita, is because it's one of the many pleasant surprises, because the pace of the book, there's a lot of funny stories, there's a little bit of dish, but then every now and then you slow down the pace, and the story of your grandmother, it's a story with a lot of heart.
Well, you know, I feel like that should be another book, although I've got to tell you, putting a book together is the most difficult job I think I've ever done. Mm-hmm. For me to sit down and write is impossible. So I sat down and I talked. Mm-hmm. And my dear friend Barry from Texas would come in, and he recorded everything. And God bless him, he recorded every phone call, every bark, every burp. Excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom now. You know, that all got recorded and it got printed. Now, I've got to tell you, the editing that I had to do at first was really something. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's very interesting because then you say, well, there's this story, but then does it really relate to that story, and how do I do this? And so I just blabbed and got train of thought, and I hope that it works. I hope people find it interesting, amusing, and I don't have any lessons to teach other than, as I say in the book, we've only got one life. Live it to the best of your ability, and do for others as you would do for yourself.
Consider Your Ass Kissed, available through our friends at Britain Publishing. You can also find it at Amazon.com, wherever books are sold. RutaLee.com. You can also follow Ruta on Twitter and on Facebook for on the Thalians, thethalians.org. We were talking about San Francisco a little earlier in our conversation. I knew that you had done High Rollers, and I knew that you had done the Hollywood Squares and a few other shows. I was not aware that you had done The Dating Game, and I bring up The Dating Game because of San Francisco because of Jim Lang.
Ah, yes, I hear what you're saying. God, he was a cute guy. I liked working with Jim.
Yes, he was.
He's another one that is a smiler and a happy person. I adored San Francisco, and of course, what was really nice was that I got to stay at the Fairmont every time.
Mm-hmm.
And our producer lived across the way at the Mark Hopkins, where he maintained an apartment.
That producer being Jaime Del Valle, the producer of The Lineup, one of the first shows filmed in San Francisco, which Rudely appeared on many, many times during its network run.
And he was so good about taking me out to dinner and taking me to Finocchio's and taking me to the wonderful restaurants. What's that great restaurant with the red flocked wallpaper that was also in the Jimmy Stewart movie?
I'll probably think of it as soon as we hang up, and I'll put it in.
Exactly. But he really, you know, was so magnanimous about that, and he kept a wonderful, big, beautiful Cadillac convertible up there, and we would. It wasn't often that the top was down because San Francisco was always, they shot during the summer, but it was always cold
mm-hmm.
there. You know, a fur was available all year round.
Yep.
But he took me to some of the best places that I ever got to see. Of course, I got to work in some of the slummiest places I ever saw, too, you know.
Well, that was the show, you know. they did film, it was a crime drama, so, you know, and it had a little bit of atmosphere to it. So that was all
part of it. We did all the locations up there in San Francisco. Then the interior shots were shot here.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they were in a big theater or a country club or something, you know, where they had been given permission to do interior work. But, you know, to have a crew in a lobby of a hotel means business has to come to a standstill practically, because you've got hundreds of people milling around with lights and things and cameras and dolly equipment and tracks and all of that stuff. So it's easier to shoot on a soundstage where you don't have to beg everybody's permission to cross the room to shoot something. So we'd shoot up there, and then you'd have to remember what the hell you did and what you wore. Of course, the script people take care of that. But it was such a pleasure. Such a beautiful pleasure, and as I said earlier, a real training period for me, as was all of the stuff that I did on Raymond Burr's...
Perry Mason.
I did a lot of those
mm-hmm.
and played different characters, and it was such a learning experience, along with being joyous. Ray Burr, who always seemed very stoic and serious and all of that, was one of the great jokesters and pranksters
mm-hmm.
of all time. I once came in to the studio, Ed, and Barbara Hale was screaming with laughter and saying, I don't know whether to laugh or get pissed or what, but her toilet, which she needed, was filled with about 3 dozen long-stem red roses.
Mm-hmm.
That Perry Mason had planted in there. So she had to go down the hall to somebody else's toilet to make a piddle.
Yes, and Ray did that all the time because, you know, back then he was shooting as many as 35, 40 shows a year. So it's breakneck pace. You got to do stuff like that to add a little levity, to the proceedings. If I remember correctly, one of the Perrys that you did, you were a brunette. And I think you may have filmed it around the time you did Witness, because I think you were, you tell me if I'm wrong, you were a brunette in Witness, correct?
Yes, except I've got a story to tell you. In both cases, no, they were nowhere near in time. I did the Perry Mason one, and this is funny because the point was that a blonde was involved with whatever, and it was a clue,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there were several of us girls that had our hair dipped dark. And the blonde, I can't remember who she was now, played the role. And I said, now, wouldn't it have been easier to do the one girl dark and leave us natural blondes or near natural blondes alone with our hair and just change the word to it was a brunette rather than it was a blonde? But somehow nobody thought of that, so all of us had our hair dipped. That's okay. But with Witness for the Prosecution, the producer had seen me at a performance of Frank Sinatra's and said that was a strange screen test he gave me, looking at me across the room as I watched Frank Sinatra.
Mm-hmm.
He had me come in, and Billy Wilder put me on film, and Marlena Dietrich, the leading lady of Witness for the Prosecution, got one look at me on the film, and she said, "Nix, nine, forget it." She's a blonde, no. And I was dipped overnight and became a brunette, and rather enjoyed it for a while.
Witness for the Prosecution, along with Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, two films that are still considered among the best films ever made, and they're the two films that helped launch Ruta's career. Ruta talks about those movies and more in Consider Your Ass Kiss, which is available for pre-order right now at Amazon.com.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
One more item. If you love Ella Fitzgerald, our friend Jeffrey Mark celebrates the music of the First Lady's song every week on Jeffrey Mark Plays Ella. You can hear Jeffrey Mark Plays Ella on Megaphone and wherever else you find podcasts. This is one of the fun things I learned, is we mentioned the chandelier banging into your head as you entered that day on High Rollers. You had a few mishaps and bumps and bruises, especially when you're doing, I mean, you had a couple early on when you were doing Seven Brides, but you did, but there are a lot of bumps that you did in when you're doing theater. And the only other actor I know who had as many bumps and bruises throughout his career was your dear friend James Garner. So you both have that as a badge of honor.
Well, you know that not only he, but Jack Kelly, who played his brother,
mm-hmm.
had a horrendous problem. They were up water skiing in Lake Tahoe.
Mm-hmm.
And the rule with all the boat drivers, meaning the drivers that pull the skier, you know, is that if the skier falls, you circle back around the skier to keep him safe because there's so much traffic on Tahoe.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jack was water skiing. His wife was in the boat behind the driver, and he fell. And when he fell, the handles somehow went looping around his ankle when he fell. And so now the boat driver follows the rule of speeding up to circle around him,
mm-hmm.
not realizing that he is dragging Jack on the rope that has spun around his ankle. And Jack said he was going to die because his head is underwater. He's going to die. And his wife is screaming, and of course over the boat roar and everything, she's having a hard time explaining, stop, stop, stop. And Jack said what saved him was the fact that the foot that he was being dragged on was creating a wake,
mm-hmm.
bubbles that gave him air. So he was catching some air all that time he was being dragged. And when they pulled him out of the boat or the water and put him in the boat, the rope had cut through everything, through all the tissue to the bone. And he was in a cast for months and months trying to get that foot back to the condition that he needed it to be in. Wow, I don't know that anybody's ever told that story about him, including himself.
Well, it sounds like Jack had a guardian angel watching over him that day to create that path of bubbles so that he could breathe, you know, while he's able to come back to the surface and be rescued. Otherwise, Brother Brett would have been an orphan.
I'm sorry to laugh.
I don't mean to make light of it either. But I think if Jack told the story, he probably would have told it that way.
No doubt, because he also, God bless him, had a wild sense of humor.
Yeah,
he was wonderful. Well, of course, Jimmy Gardner was one of the cutest things that ever happened.
Yep.
You know. And like every girl in America, I had a crush on him. But gosh, he was so cute and so funny. And I could never, ever, ever think seriously of having any kind of a whoopee relationship with him. Because not only was he married, but we laughed too hard, you know. And so we never could have had time for kissing because we were laughing.
Yeah. The Maverick you did is one of the most famous Mavericks of all. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. But
no, I'm not.
It was one of the first that Roy Huggins wrote, and it established the character where that, you know, Maverick was not your Maverick was not Matt Dillon. Maverick was not your ordinary Western hero. And your character in the show that you did, which also had your friend Werner Klemperer in it, if I remember correctly.
Oh, really? I'd forgotten that.
Yeah. But there's a line where you say to Jim as Maverick, "Mr. Maverick, Mr. Maverick, please help me. You know, my father's in trouble." And Maverick says, "You see that building over there? That's where the sheriff's office is. You should talk to him." And and your character says, "You're not very noble, aren't you?" And Maverick says, "No, ma'am, I'm not." And it was funny because you don't expect to hear that on a Western, but that was one of the famous scenes in the one that you did with Jim.
Gun on him?
Yes, you do. You do that in the same scene, and that's where you get him to change his mind.
Now, stop and think about what a small world this is. If I am not mistaken, you might look this up, but I think that Howard Koch...
Yes, he did.
...directed that.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And Howard Koch became a producing partner of Frank Sinatra's, and that's the man, along with Frank, who is responsible for my being leading lady to Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis, Peter Lawford, Joey Bishop, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what a small, round world we really live in.
It certainly is. Rita Lee is on the line with us. Rita's memoir, Consider Your Ass Kissed, is available for pre-order right now at Amazon.com. We'll take a quick time out. We'll talk some more with Rita when we come back on TV Confidential.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us. 800-917-2194. 800-917-2194. 800-917-2194. That's 800-917-2194.
Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/tvconfidential, x.com/tvconfidential, or @tvconfidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.